This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda Markets analyst Kenny Fisher and in the USA, trader Nick. Good afternoon from London, guys.
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys.
Right. Plenty to talk about today. Let's start with the fallout from yesterday's Fed Reserve announcement. Of course, no change to interest rates as expected. But as we were saying earlier on in the week, Nick, it was what Jerome Powell would have to say after that announcement that would actually be interesting. So what did we learn?
Yeah, Johnny. So when we look at what happened yesterday with the Fed meeting, it was a kind of an initial false start. There was an initial fear because there was a redacted statement about inflation. And then very quickly, when Powell actually took stand 30 minutes later, he kind of just said, don't read too far into that. Basically, we are continuing to stay, you know, as we know, he always says, data dependent, and reiterated that he sees equal risk. Currently, him and the committee see equal risk to employment as well as to prices or price stability slash inflation. So overall, the Fed does still seem poised to hold rates steady and continue to wait for more signs of inflation. He actually mentioned that the labor market and the economy continues to look very strong and that they do remain overall optimistic on inflation, but they're really waiting for proof to come down the pipeline. I would actually say that compared to the previous, you know, major hawkish tilt that we heard in December, I would say that this was relatively soft on the hawkish side. I would say very in the middle, maybe even slightly dovish from Powell. Markets did take off a little bit here in terms of the U.S. stock market. But the overall thing I want to mention about the Fed press conference is that several of the reporters in the audience tried to get Powell to make a move or make a response to some of the recent Trump comments, right? We know Trump has, quote unquote, demanded interest rates to come down. Powell also made mention that he has not actually had any sort of direct contact with Trump on this, but also declined to comment on any of the Trump comments. But also even when asked about tariffs, right, Powell basically said, we don't make those decisions. We just let the government, he's been voted in, you know, they let them make their decisions and we react accordingly, but did choose to say that some of the previous administration's tariff moves did have some ramifications to the economy and to inflation that they would keep a close eye on overall. And he said it's one of their things that they're watching, basically, but not something that they're going to be incredibly proactive on. I think the market's okay with that. So dollar index, pretty flat the last few days, trading around 107.8 or so. So not a huge move one way or the other, but continuing to kind of watch and wait to see what inflation data brings next. The other thing just real quick to briefly mention is this morning we had advanced GDP numbers come in lower than expected. So a little coolness on the GDP front there. But there was some advanced GDP prices data that did come out a little lower than expected. So possibly a good read for the inflation outlook. Overall, I'd say the economy is in a pretty strong place. According to Jerome Powell, who knows a lot more than I do, he said the same thing. So, you know, economy looks pretty good. Inflation doesn't seem to be rising. And the Fed's just kind of waiting for further data to make a decision in terms of reducing Fed target rate.
And Kenny, what's your view?
Just to add to Nick's analysis, Johnny. Chairman Powell did say that the Fed is in no rush to adjust rates, and the markets took that to mean a pretty strong hint that we won't see any rate cut in March. There's about an 80% chance that we'll see rates again stay on hold. I found that the story of Trump attacking Powell may have been the story within the story of yesterday's meeting, because as Nick said, it was really not a surprise at all that they held rates. But Trump did attack Powell and went on social media saying that Powell has, or the Fed has done a terrible job and blaming them for inflation. So Trump is being Trump. But I think we have to pay attention to the fact that there is this danger of interference, political interference in the independence of the Fed. And that might continue if the Fed does not lower rates as President Trump very much wants them to do.
Meanwhile, Kenny, on this side of the Atlantic, we have seen a rate cut, and that's been announced by the ECB.
That's correct, Johnny. Just like the Fed, there was no real surprise that they held rates. The same applies to the ECB. There was no real surprise that they lowered rates by a quarter of a point to 2.75%. That's the lowest we've seen since December 2022, so it's over 2 years. And the ECB continues to be aggressive. That was the fifth rate cut since the easing cycle started last June. The euro did show some strength in the aftermath of the decision. It went up about 0.5%, but it's given up about half of those gains, so not too much to report from the euro. As far as what's next from the ECB, the markets are expecting three more cuts this year. So again, as we see, they plan to be aggressive, but that at the same time will widen the European-US rate differential. So that could put pressure on the euro and push it towards parity. And again, the ECB, like other major central banks, is concerned about Trump's tariff threats. He hasn't singled out the eurozone immediately, but there certainly is a lot of worry that he will impose tariffs on the eurozone, which of course would hurt the already fragile eurozone economy.
Well, meanwhile, big tech earnings season is in full swing now, with four of the big seven, including the likes of Tesla, Microsoft, Apple, announcing their results. What have we learnt today, Nick?
Well, Johnny, do you want the good news first or the bad news first?
I think I prefer the good news, actually.
Okay, let's start with good news. Good news, there's not really any terrible news, so I guess I set that up to be bigger, but Meta had an exceptional report. In fact, beating on the earnings per share forecast by 18.7%. So incredible upside beat for Meta. This is a company that's already been, you know, rising dramatically off of the recent DeepSeek stuff, potentially making AI accessibility cheaper for some of these companies. You got to think Meta is one of, in my opinion, one of the most impressive companies using AI on the market at this time, right? We know how addictive our phones can be on those Facebook and Instagram apps. It's because AI is reading us and you know, cheaper input costs for Meta, which is currently trading, by the way, at $701 per share, $702. I mean, it's rising as we speak. You know, really, really good beat on the top and bottom line for Meta. Now, there's a middle ground. Tesla, another big name that reported, and a pretty key story stock for the AI and robotics stuff. They actually missed on their earnings and revenue. However, markets still traded higher off of some of their AI stuff, AI specific revenue looking a little bit upbeat. That stock up not a ton today, but up a little bit on the day, up 2.8% at the time of us recording this podcast. And then finally, you had maybe the biggest disappointment, but it's a weird one. It's just the day and age. Microsoft actually beat on the top and bottom, but the stock has dropped by about 5% at the time of recording this. So a drop in Microsoft, despite the beat in top and bottom's earnings, top beating, of course, revenue and earnings, both beat, however, by a narrow basis, and the market was not super impressed with this. It's similar to Nvidia. A lot of these companies have very high expectations, and Wall Street has very high expectations for these very large companies to continue to produce the earnings growth that they're looking for. Otherwise, they get punished. So you can see, even though they beat, they didn't beat by a large enough margin to truly, really impress shareholders. And so that stock still getting punished. It's kind of like getting punished for getting a B plus on a test. You still did pretty good, but you didn't get an A plus, so you get punished. That's kind of the market we're in right now.
And finally, we're seeing some strong numbers from the yen today.
Yeah, I think, Johnny, you're getting a little bit of a divergence here happening in the Japanese yen. For the last few years, it's been the carry trade has gone strong because you've had other central banks, you know, hiking rates and keeping them high. And now it seems like that floodgate is breaking a little bit. You have, like you mentioned, you and Kenny were discussing the ECB cutting rates. Fed still seems poised to cut rates maybe one time this year. So the direction for a lot of Western economies seems to be rate cuts. Meanwhile, the Japanese yen sounding a lot more hawkish. They've had an uptick in inflation recently. And so that is the question. How long does that go on? And could we see some reversals of some of the trends that we've seen over recent years where the yen has just been punished, that may finally start to see some reversal to it? Japanese yen trading against most other currencies is looking very strong today. Dollar yen's down 0.8%, pound yen down 0.7%, euro yen down 0.7%. So seeing some perhaps divergence in the East-West rate story playing out at this time.
Just add to what Nick has been saying. As we know, the Bank of Japan raised interest rates last week, and we're seeing that Bank of Japan officials are really, I think, massaging the market for further rate hikes. The deputy governor, Mr. Himino, said earlier today that the BOJ will continue raising interest rates, provided that the economy and inflation continue to move in line with the bank's forecasts. So I think we're seeing some definite telegraphing or hinting from the Bank of Japan to be prepared for further rate hikes, which is somewhat unusual because usually the Bank of Japan keeps quite quiet about what it's planning to do. But it seems that it's showing the markets that it plans to continue raising rates, but we'll have to see when that happens.
Okay. Kenny, Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again soon.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.